We heard it preached, someone preach about him several times, so we're going to look at him tonight. Matthew chapter 19 through 22. Notice the story of the rich young ruler. He had everything going for him. A lot of money, he was young, and he had power. Let's read about him. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go, sell what thou hast, give to the poor, that thou may have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we thank you for the opportunity of looking into it. We ask that you would bless everything that's said and done here, that your name would be glorified. Heavenly Father, that your word would speak to each one gathered here, that your spirit would fill this place. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. How many of you here tonight have ever made a mistake or ever done something wrong? Come on, every hand up now. Thank you. There's nobody here who's perfect tonight, eh? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Just wanted to make sure. I said this, my wife, when she first started dating me, thought I was perfect. She found out quick after a couple of days, so that wasn't right. This young man made some mistakes. In fact, he made four big mistakes. We're going to look at those four mistakes tonight. I know none of you here like making mistakes. We don't like doing things wrong. We always strive to do what's right. We always strive to be perfect in life. Of course we fail, but we try to do what's right. From when we're a young person, we grow up and we try to do the best that we can in school. Well, most of us anyway. But the majority, we try to do the best we can at school. If it's playing ball or if it's going out in the boat, we do the best that we can. As we start to grow up and start to get older and we start to get a job, we look for the best job that's going to suit us. For a lot of people, it's going out in the boat. For others, it may be working home. But you try to find the best job that's suited to you, not to make a mistake by getting the wrong one. Then, maybe earlier or later, you start looking for your spouse. And you try to find the right one. You don't want to make a mistake there, that's for sure. Like I say, you make your bed, you got to sleep in it. So you want to make sure you find the right one. The one that God has prepared specifically for you. And of course, when you get married, you want to work to have your marriage perfect. The right way to handle your finances, the right way to love your spouse. When you have children, the right way to train them, the right way to discipline them, how to give to them what they deserve. I hope that tonight you won't make any of the mistakes that this young man made. And that by the time we're finished, all of these mistakes you can say I have not made. I don't want you to make any of these mistakes. I want you to strive to do what's right tonight. The first mistake this man made, he made a mistake about who Jesus was. He came and he said, good teacher. Yes, Jesus was a good teacher, but that's not all that Jesus was. A lot of people today are making the mistake about who Jesus is. A lot of people are trying to say he was a good teacher. He was a great man. He was a prophet. That's not who Jesus was. Jesus was the one who created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the one who holds the whole world in his hands. Jesus is God himself. The one who is all powerful, who can do anything. There's nothing impossible with him. The one who's all knowing, who knows everything, who knows what you're thinking right now, who knows what you're going to do in the future. That's who Jesus is. He's the ever-present one who's with you everywhere you go. Whether you're here inside of church, whether you're down to the bottom of the ocean, whether you're away on vacation, Jesus is there with you. That's who he is. Yesterday I went up to go see Miss Myrtle. I should call her Mom Myrtle, but I asked her, what do you want me to read for you today? She says, in the beginning. So I turned to Genesis 1 and 1. She says, that ain't what I mean. I want John 1 and 1. In the beginning was the Word. So we learn from that Jesus was there at the beginning of time. At creation, Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Not only was Jesus around them, but Jesus was with God. Jesus was in heaven. And the Word was God. Jesus was God and still is God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. You take a look around you. You take a look at the trees that's just starting to bring leaves and flowers out on them. Jesus made them. You take a look at your body, your hands, your feet, your eyes. And if you ever go in to have an x-ray, your bones. Jesus made every one of them and made them to work just at the right time. He put them in the right place with no mistakes. You take a look at all of nature, of the animals around, of the sea and the wind and the clouds. Jesus was the maker of all of them. The stars in the air, all of the many planets, we're told are just the work of His fingers. In fact, we're told that everything in the universe was just the work of Jesus' fingers. Can you imagine that? The closest star to us, if you were to travel at the speed of light, which is about 186,000 miles per second, you only got your golf cards revved up that fast, yet, 186,000 miles a second. It would take you millions of years to reach the closest star to us. That's just one star out of many in a huge galaxy. And one galaxy out of many in a huge universe. And Jesus made all them with just the work of His fingers. A lot of people are saying that Jesus wasn't God. You have to accept Jesus as one of three things. You have to accept Him either number one as Lord, as God Himself. Because He claimed to be God. He said, I am. If you don't think Jesus was God, well then you have to say that Jesus was a liar. But then again, Jesus couldn't be a liar because thus I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus couldn't be a liar. Well, what other possibility is there? This man who claimed to be God. If He isn't God and He isn't a liar, well then you've got to accept Him as a lunatic. He must have been crazy. But then why would the demons listen to a man who was crazy? Why would the demons obey Him? So there's nothing else to accept Him as, except as Lord. Except as God Himself. That's who Jesus is. You know, today you hear the word Christian a lot. You turn on your TV or pick up a newspaper. You hear a lot of people who call themselves Christians. Organizations would say they're Christian, but a lot of them aren't. You know the difference between them and the true Christians is what they think of Jesus. Because every cult that you run into, they never will admit that Jesus was God. Sometime read 2 John. It says right there, the spirit of Antichrist is the one who says that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh. That's the difference. And this young man made the mistake. He thought that Jesus was only a good teacher. Hopefully tonight none of you have made that mistake. Hopefully tonight every one of you realize that Jesus is God and He has complete control over every aspect of your life. But that's not the only mistake He made. He made another one. He made a mistake about how He could get eternal life. I think everyone here wants eternal life. I believe everyone here wants to go to heaven. I don't believe there's a person in Spanish Wells who doesn't want to go to heaven. This young man wanted that. He wanted eternal life, but he made a mistake. He said, what shall I do that I could get eternal life? What can I do to inherit eternal life? I'll tell you this, you can't do anything. We can't earn eternal life. All of our works are just like filthy rags in God's sight. And no matter what you try to do, you can't do anything to inherit eternal life. People's trying to paint the picture nowadays of how we just take our good works and our bad works, and whatever outweighs the other will be allowed into heaven. A lot of funeral services, you see people saying, yeah, he was a good person. I'm sure he's with the Lord. I'm sure he's in heaven looking down upon us right now, or she is. Very nice person. That's good. But that doesn't get you into heaven. He made this mistake about how he could inherit eternal life. What he could do to get eternal life. There was a man like that named Naaman. I'm sure you remember his story. He had a problem called leprosy. And Naaman's problem of leprosy is just like our problem of sin, because Naaman couldn't do anything about it himself. There was no way Naaman could have gotten rid of his problem. And there's no way that we ourselves can get rid of our sin. Naaman could have bought the best lotions and creams and scrubs and anything else. As much as he tried scrubbing himself, his leprosy would have still been there. He still would have been stuck with it. No matter how much good you do, sin's still going to be in your life. A lot of things Naaman could have done, he could have tried ignoring his sin. His leprosy, his problem. You could try ignoring your problem, but it doesn't matter, it's still there. So Naaman decided, after a young girl talked to him, that he was going to go see the prophet Elisha. And he went to the prophet Elisha, and Elisha says, you want to get rid of your leprosy? Go wash in the Jordan River. Naaman ran out of there steaming mad. First of all, Elisha wouldn't even come to see him. He sent his servant to come tell him this. And go wash in the Jordan River? You must think I'm crazy. And Naaman said, you know, if I'd been asked to go out and conquer some great army, I believe I would have done that. If I'd have been asked to give so much gold or so many pieces of clothing, I'd have probably done that. He wanted to do something to get his leprosy taken care of. But finally he humbled himself. He realized he had to obey the words of the prophet. He washed in the Jordan and his leprosy disappeared. His leprosy was taken away from him. There's absolutely nothing you can do to get eternal life. None of your works will count. And Jesus says if you were relying on your works, you would have to keep up to the law. You would have to keep the commandments of the law. I'm going to read from you the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20. If you want to turn there, you can. If you don't want to, you can just listen. See if it's anyone here who's kept every one of these. Starting in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Never in your life can anything be more important than the Lord. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger which is in thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them too, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you've read the list like me, you're saying there's no way I could keep that. There's absolutely no way I could fully follow that. Because as I look at the list, I've failed over and over. And if we rely on our good works, we are going to fail. There's nothing we can do to gain eternal life. But this young man made another mistake yet. Not only had he made a mistake about who Jesus was, Not only had he made a mistake about doing something to obtain eternal life, he made a mistake about himself. Because he thought that he was good enough. He thought he had lived a good enough life. He thought he had done all the right things. In fact, he thought that he had never failed in any point of the law. He had failed, just like every one of us. Because he was born into sin, just like every one of us. Adam sinned, and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And therefore, death was passed on every one of us. And every one of us has sinned. This young man thought he was good enough. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, and come short of the glory of God. Sin is just missing God's mark. We've all missed it. Verse 10 of Romans 3 says, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's never been one, and there never will be one righteous among human beings except our Lord Jesus Christ. And none of us can live a good enough life. None of us are good enough on our own to get to heaven. But the final mistake this young man made was the worst mistake of all. Because even though he had made a mistake about who Jesus was, Jesus clarified that. Jesus let him know who he was. Even though this young man had made the mistake about trying to do something, about thinking he was good enough, he wasn't. He couldn't do anything. He failed. Jesus still was going to offer him eternal life anyway. Even though he made all these mistakes, even though he had failed, even though he had sinned, Jesus said, tell you what, you can still have eternal life. Just come and follow me. And the mistake this man made was that he didn't listen to Jesus. He didn't obey Jesus. He didn't come and follow Jesus. And that was the worst mistake of all. Yes, there's neither one of us here that deserves the gift of eternal life. There's neither one of us here who deserves to go to heaven. There's neither one of us here who deserves the love of Christ. There's neither one of us here who deserves God's only Son coming down to earth, becoming a man and going on the cross to bear our sins. We don't deserve that kind of love. We shouldn't have that kind of love. We shouldn't be able to enjoy that kind of love. We shouldn't be able to inherit eternal life. But Jesus says, so what? I'm going to give it to you anyway. You've done nothing right. You've done nothing to earn it, but I'll give it to you. You can still have it. Free of charge. It's a free gift. All you got to do is come up and take it. If I was handing out $100 bills tonight, is there anyone here who would refuse one? Okay, I didn't think so. Well, tonight Jesus has given you something worth a whole lot more. $100, that could be gone in a week's worth of groceries for one person. But Jesus wants to give you something that's going to last forever. Not going to last a day or a week. Not a month or a year. It's not even going to last lifetime. This has got eternity on it. It's going to last forever and forever and forever. It never runs out. Never going to fail. Money back guarantee, double your money, triple your money back, whatever you want to call it. The best guarantee it's got on it. Guaranteed, once you receive this gift of eternal life, Jesus will never turn your back on you. Jesus will never allow you to go to hell. You can be sure that you're going to heaven. You can be guaranteed of it. You can know tonight that there's a mansion prepared for you. All you have to do is come and ask for it. All you have to do is say a simple prayer. Say, Jesus, I want your gift of eternal life. Just like that. Nothing great. Nothing amazing. Just ask for his gift of eternal life. What's stopping you right now? Right now, tonight, what is stopping you from getting saved? What's holding you back? Well, this young man, his possessions held him back. His pride held him back. He didn't want to have to say he relied on Jesus. He didn't want to have to be willing to give up everything else. He wanted to try to make it on his own. And I tell you, from what we learn about this young man, he went to hell. We don't find that he ever came back to Jesus. That's sad. Because it was right at his fingertips. Tonight, Jesus is right at your fingertips. Salvation is right here, right now, at your fingertips. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to raise your hand. You can say a simple prayer in the seat where you are right now, tonight. And Jesus will save you. But is it something holding you back? Is your possessions holding you back? Are you scared of having to put God first in your life? What about your pride? Is that holding you back? You know, Naaman had that problem. He had to have his pride cured before he could have his sin cured. He didn't want to go wash in that dirty Jordan River. But only until he had his pride cured was his leprosy cured, was his problem taken care of. I think a lot of people today are scared to become Christians. That sounds hard. That sounds different. But a lot of Bahamians today are scared to become Christians because they're scared that they're going to have to live a perfect life. They're scared that they can't do anything wrong anymore. Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. And if we were going to live a perfect life, well, we wouldn't need to get saved. But right now, you come to Jesus. He'll take care of the sins you've already done, the sins you're doing, and the sins you're going to do in the future. Yes, when we're saved, we should try to live for Him. But if we fail, it doesn't matter. He's already taken care of it. He's already washed those sins away. What's stopping you from coming to Him tonight? Yes, a tragedy hit man of war. Early 3 o'clock Saturday morning. 2 houses away from mine. And it so happened that the 3 who were lost in the fire were saved. Someone told me from home, says they don't think they suffered much. I said, well, I know they aren't suffering now. I can be sure of that fact. What if you were to get caught in that same situation tonight? It could well have happened to many other places. The fire was caused by water getting into the house and getting into the electrical system. Quickly caught a fire, the front room and kitchen. And surprisingly, they actually woke up. Because most of the times in a fire, the smoke is going to knock you out and you'd never even know. That could happen to you tonight. I hope it doesn't, but it could happen to you tonight. Where would you go? Where would you be? Where would you spend eternity? The choir sang about meeting each other in heaven. Would you meet your friends in heaven? Would you meet your husband or your wife in heaven? Maybe your parents or your children. Maybe your brother or your sister. Would you meet them in heaven? Or would you be sent to hell? Would you be sent to eternal punishment? Tonight, if your time in this life was over, what would happen to you? Where would you go? We sing the hymn, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. James writes, what is life? It's but a vapor. It appears for just a little while and then vanishes away. That's all that our life is. Just here for a few seconds and then it's on to eternity. People die of all ages. The little girl in the fire was only 5. Her mother was middle-aged and of course, you know, Miss Agnes, an elderly lady, all taken away very quickly. Swept into eternity. And it could be you. You may not die in that way. You may go on to live for many years. But you need to be prepared. Right now, eternal life, it's yours. Jesus says, come. Come. Come and take it. I've got plenty. I can cover your sins. I can cover the sins of the whole world. I went to the cross. And I put enough in my bank account to pay every debt. No matter how big yours may be. If only you would come to me. What are you going to do tonight? Are you going to make a mistake? Are you going to do something wrong or are you going to do something right? This man made four mistakes. A mistake about who Jesus was. Reminder that Jesus is God himself in complete control. Mistake about obtaining eternal life. He thought he could do something, some work. You can't. He made the mistake about himself. He thought he was good enough. There's no one here that's good enough. He made the mistake of not listening to Jesus, of not obeying Jesus' words, of come and follow me. Tonight, why don't you come and follow Jesus? Why don't you come and accept the gift of salvation before it's too late, before your opportunity is over? I'm going to ask our musicians if they wouldn't mind coming up again for 292, very familiar, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. I hope you can say this tonight, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Verse 2 says, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Won't you stand? We'll sing the first three verses. I'll close in a word of prayer and then we'll sing the last verse.